go how I went on his shape.
Okay, hang on a second. This is Paul Sigrist. We're now beginning tape two with Emily Valenta, who came from Czechoslovakia in 1923 when she was 16. You had just begun to explain to us your father had been in contact with the people in Schenectady. They had an older son that they were hoping that you would marry when you came to this country, and you told me you wanted to come to this country. So tell me a little bit about the process of getting ready to come to this country.
Well, we were living in Pochaply in near Prague.
It's, can you spell that,
yes, Pochaply, P-O-C-A-P-L-I, Pochaply.
And that's just outside of Prague.
That's outside Prague. So my father, he went and take care of all the tickets and visa, and we're supposed to go from the Bremen, Germany.
What do you remember about getting the papers and
the visa? Well, we had to go fill up the passport and all the other things, as you're doing here, you know. But as I say, I was only 16. And my father, he knew a lot of in that place where it was a small city like Schenectady, too. So people helped her who were traveling, and he knew a lot about it because he traveled before here. So he took care of it. And
in Czechoslovakia, did you have to undergo any medical exams?
Oh, yes, we had to go to medical, too, yes. I had a vaccination, yes, we had to have it, right. And, of course, that was already Republic, you know, 1918. So it was much easier than it would be any other way before. So we didn't have no problem to go. You could have go any place you wanted.
That's right. It was its own country by
yes,
then.
Yes, right.
Become Czechoslovakia. Right.
So when we got to Bremen.
Well, no, wait now. How long did it take you to get your papers?
I think it took us about 2 months to get our papers. Everything filled out, everything was ready to. Then they let you know that you're ready to go, yes.
What did you pack to take with you to America?
Not too much. I had a little old-fashioned suitcase that was not like we have now. I can't describe it. It looks like a basket weave, you know.
Vickers,
that's what it is. I couldn't think of it. Vickers suitcase. I had lovely suit on me, and I had a couple new dresses that I had made by dressmaker. They were already fashioned. What I brought, they were fashioned, and the fashion came here following year. So I had a fashion dress.
And can you describe the suit? You said you had a lovely suit.
I had a lovely suit, gray suit, woolen suit, because it was fall. And I had to match, and I had a nice shoes. And when I came to Schenectady to these people, they expected little girl from a country with little babushka, that's kerchief on, and old-fashioned shoes. And I came here dressed up like a young lady, as you saw that picture on a passport.
How long were the skirts?
Half of your count.
And what was the hat like? Can you describe the hat?
Well, it was gray, matched same material. We had beautiful millinery ladies, and it was a big brim, you know. I had a longer hair, so it was really fashion, very nice, yes.
Did your mother and brothers and sisters travel to Bremen to say goodbye?
No.
Can you describe saying goodbye to them?
Well, it was sad. It was sad, but my father says to me, don't cry. He says, if we don't come back with Nair, if you're not going to go, Mama's going to come back. And that was that. That was with the prayers that I will see her again. Yes. And of course, my older sister, she was married. I don't know when I'm going to see her. She was there. She had a husband and children. She had her own life, you know.
Was so. There some kind of special dinner or something that the family did
before no, you left? No. Just like any other day.
Did someone give you something to take with you to America as a remembrance of Czechoslovakia?
Well, I was given a little diary book. All my friends wrote me something, and my family, a little poem. And many times I open it, even through the years, and I cry over them. The leaves are all brown.
And you still have it. Wow. How did you get from Prague to Bremen?
With a train. Train, yes.
How long of a journey is that?
Oh, dear. I can answer you that.
Was it overnight, or?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, yes, it was overnight. Yeah, it was sleeping train.
It's just you and your father traveling,
that's
right?
All, yes, yes.
Nobody else from your town?
No, just two of us.
What happened in Bremen?
Well, we met a lot of Slovak people, a lot of Polish people there. They were on the same ship. And a lot of Jewish people. And we had a wait there. I don't know why that ship didn't come on a time. So we spent the whole week there. So I bought myself a pair of earrings there. Yes. And they were looking for money, you know, in Germany people. So, but finally we got on a ship, and I had very hard time. I was sick all the 7 days that we had big storm, and I told my father I never want to see America. And I didn't eat anything, and the last day that we were almost going close to shore, my father was asking in the kitchen what they could give me eat, because I have to eat, I won't be able to get up out of the bed. So they said, bring her a small glass of black beer. My father says, she never had a beer, she will never take it. And he brought me that beer and a piece of herring and rye bread. And I didn't want that beer. I says, I cannot drink that. And I thought I'm gonna be sick, throw up or something. So I did drink it and the herring, and believe me or not, I felt better than before we got off the ship. I had a good meal.
And what did you think when you were in Bremen and you were about to board the ship? What were you?
I was scared.
Of?
I was so scared. When I saw that big boat, I said, "Oh my God, we're gonna go on this big monster."
And you're not sure the name of the ship, right?
I can remember the ship. I used to remember for so many years. I says I never forget that ship. And now, as I said, it's 72 years.
Sure.
It's hard to remember.
Can you describe for me where you slept in the ship?
Oh, we travel in a third class, the cheapest ticket. And I was on another girls. The girls were separate, you know, from my father was different, and different place, room. And so I had, I think it was a Slovak lady was. We had bunk beds. I was bottom. She was on the top, because I was sick, you know. So she was afraid if I was on the top, I might fall down.
or be sick on top of her.
Yes. So, but it was not pleasant trip. I never forget it. When I was supposed to go on a ship on a cruise 20 years ago with senior citizens, I was so scared. I said, some doctor gave me pills so I won't get sick. And I never used them.
Did you have an opportunity to go up on deck while you were on the ship?
No, I only before we landed, I was on a deck.
You were down in your cabin.
Okay, no. All that through that time, people went on a deck because they had to. They were almost pulling me out of bed, and I says, no, I'm not going no place. Tie me up to the bed. If we're going to sink, I'm going to be in a bed.
Do you know about what your father was doing on the ship during those days?
Well, he was worried about me, so he couldn't do anything. He used to come and see me and console me that we're going to make it, and he said, just say a prayer, and we make it, and we did make it.
And it took 7 days, you said?
Yes, 7 days.
Tell me about when the ship came into New York Harbor, what you remember about that experience.
Well, I saw a little boat. They put us on a little boat, and we went to Ellis Island. And there we had a, we went through custom. We didn't have anything to declare in or anything like that. But we had to go there through the physical, and they thought that we full of bugs or what, I don't know. They put us in a quarantine, you know, and women with women and little children, and put a kerosene in my hair. I thought I'm going to lose all my hair. And I cried. I says to my father, I'm not going any further. I'm going to wait for another ship. I don't know if you have any money, but I'm going back home. But they put us in the shower, and we wash up and back in the little boats. And then we were going to New York, and from New York took a train to Schenectady.
How long were you at Ellis Island?
Oh, I think it was about 5 days.
Oh,
yes.
So you stayed overnight there?
Yes,
then,
yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, well, tell me about where you slept at Ellis Island.
It was like a bunk bed, too. Yes, bunk beds, yeah.
And do you remember where they fed you at Ellis Island?
It was a big hall. Everybody sat, same room, ate it, you know. But I don't remember what I ate. I don't remember.
Did you spend your days with your father?
Oh, yes. I don't think we were there that long, because if I remember, I came here to Schenectady November 7th, and we arrived, we arrived about around the 1st or 2nd to New York. So it could have been five days.
You mentioned that you had to take a shower at Ellis Island. Can you tell me how you felt about having to do that?
Oh, how I felt. I cried because, you know, people from Europe are a little bit timid, especially women. My mother, we never saw her body or father or anything like that. Today it's natural, you know, but not those days. And I felt terrible, the children watching you. I was a young girl, but you had to do it. You were like a guinea pig, I call it.
And you said that they put kerosene.
Yes, they thought maybe we had nits or what. I says, my God, I never had nits in my life.
How did they do it? Did they just your hair was long, right?
Yes, well, they just put it on and we had to rub it ourselves. I didn't want to do it. He says, you got to do it. They were so strict with us.
Did you see anything at Ellis Island that you had never seen before?
No, I don't. I only remember it was a huge building, and you're going from one room to another, and they pushing you and doing this and doing that, you know. So that's what it was, yes.
And no one came to meet you at Ellis Island? No. You and your father were on your own?
Yeah, on our own. Everybody were on their own, yes. No, nobody met us till we came to Schenectady. We were late, and they went there, this young man here, a car, the son, and they met us, but we didn't come. So when we arrived almost at midnight, my father know his way from State Street, that was a train there. So we walked through the Broadway, and that was another thing that strike me. It was the cleaning. They told me till in the morning sweeping, when they had all this food selling outside, it was such a garbage all around. I says to my father, is this America? I thought it's going to be all in golden fences and everything so beautiful. And it struck me terrible. It was awful feeling till I got used to a different way, you know. So now I love it.
Did your father speak any English?
A little bit, yeah, because he didn't learn, because he mingled more amongst the Czech people, Czech club, you know, that we call the Sokol. That's the physical fitness name, you know, Sokol. It's like a falcon, you know, Sokol is falcon.
And how do you spell that?
Sokol, it's S-O-K-O-L.
And that's the organization.
Organization. Name. And we had our clubhouse, and we had a play and dances and dinners and things like Polish people, Italian, Irish, and so forth, German, Turverein, you know.
Did you attempt to learn any English before you came here?
No, there was no such a thing to learn. There was no such a
I
thing
didn't know
to...
if maybe your father tried to teach you?
No, he knew just the, like, good morning or please or thank you, you know, that I knew, you know, but that's how about all, yes.
Can Can you tell me how you went about learning English once you got to the United States?
Well, I was here 3 days, and we took this family, these young boys. They had sister. She was 10 years old.
This was the family that wanted
came.
To marry you
all. Yeah,
to.
I was with them. And both of us, we stayed with them until my father got the little apartment. I'll tell you what happened. 3 days later, I had a job. I was placed to a family to be like a nanny. They had 4 children. Their name was Lefevre. He was a French gentleman, born in France, but educated in America.
How do you spell Lefevre?
Fever. L-E, capital V, no, fever. F, capital F-E, capital V-E-E-R. That was their name, because they all gone, you know. And he was Comptroller General Electric, a big man. And she was a head nurse in Ellis Hospital in Schenectady. And they had 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. And they had that little girl was only 2 years old, and they had a big home in a mid-city good section. They had a lady who was a housekeeper and cook and doing laundry. I was assigned with that little child, you know, and the boy came from school, set the table and helped like clean up the table. Very nice people. But I was working for $7 a week and room and board, and had a Thursday afternoon off and Sunday off. And I went to these people on Sunday. Well, I was there 5 months, and I met a lot of girls. She assigned me to night school, this lady. Right following week, she assigned me to Nat Therese High School evening class. And the children, of course, taught me how to speak. I went to their room, and this old boy was, I think, 12 years old, oldest, and he says, "Emily, say walk." So I repeat, walk. "A window." I says, "Window." He says, "Walk to window." So I says, "Walk to window." And that's little by little, I was learning how to speak. So five months, I was doing pretty good in the school too. So I met this girl. They says, "Oh, you're so foolish to work, and why don't you ask your father, get your application, get that GE job." And of course, there were most of the Polish, Slovak, Italians departments, and I didn't even have to speak too much English. You know, that you speak, I understand Polish, I understood the Slovak. So I got a job in GE. And this lady was very mad that I'm leaving them, you know, because she taught me how to go to school, and children taught me how to speak a few things, and now I'm leaving them. So, and I explained, I said, "I want to earn money, and perhaps I'm going home, back, and I cannot save out of $7. So, I went to work in GE, and my father and I, we got 3-room little apartment. It was old furniture. We bought secondhand furniture, but it was cozy. So I went to work, and I cooked. I knew how to cook our food from Europe. And I was here only, I was here only 2 weeks, and a family from my village were here. And this young man was 21 years old, 20, Frank Kozelek, and I was 16, and he wanted to see me as a, I used to chum around in my village with his sister going to school. So he was planning to come and see me Sunday afternoon. And he met on the street this young man, his name was Joseph Valenta. His brother was living on the same street. And Frank asked him, "Where are you going, Joe?" He says, "Well, I'm going to see my brother." And Joe says, "Where are you going?" He says, "Well, I'm going to see the girl from my village. I want to say hello, how she is." I forget, he was here already 3 years. He was training as a GE was on training toolmaker or something like that. His brother had a good job there, so he got him in. So he says, oh, yes. He says, why don't you come with me? He asked Joe, Frank. So they both came to see me. That was Sunday afternoon. I was here only 1 week. And we talk, he introduced himself, and they asked my father if they could take me to a movie Sunday afternoon, silent movie. Of course, I didn't understand word of English, but they both boys went to night school, so they could have understood. It was everything on the screen. So I sat in the middle, and two boys on each side, and they were explaining it to me. You know, it was a lot of laughter. So we went on a trolley car downtown. They didn't have no cars. And coming home from theater, Frank had to get off first from trolley car, and Joe was closer to where I live. So Frank says, well, why don't you take Emily down to her father, to Urbanex, and I will say goodnight here, and I'm going to see you next week, Sunday, at the Sokol Hall. It was play put it on, and this Joseph Valenta was in a play. He was a lovely man. He was older, 9 years older than I am. But I was growing up, for my age, I was growing up more than 16 years old girl, let's put it that way. And he was in a play, so when he took me back home, my father says, she's got to be home on time, you know. So we came home on the time. It was a little after 6 o'clock. We were an afternoon matinee. And he had tickets for this play. And he says to my father, if I give you 2 tickets for Emily and you, would you come to see the play? And my father says, of course, we would go regardless. So he gave him 3 tickets. So I went to see the play. And, of course, I was dancing after the play. And my father wanted to go home, and he wanted me to go home because I had to go in the morning, take a trolley car, going back to work, to go into G to work. No, I was with these people yet. I had to go with these people work. So I had to get up earlier and be there for breakfast. So Joe says to my father, he says, Mr. Valenta, Mr. Vapenik, can I take Milcha home? Can she stay for the dance? And my father says, well, can I trust you? You bring her home. So he says, yes, we're going to be home before 11 o'clock, I promise. We're going to dance up at that time. So I did came home. Well, from one thing to another, I used to meet Joe every Sunday when I came to head off. I went to church with these people, you know, that I stayed over weekends. And Joe would take me theater, or we'd walk on the street. And so after I quit this job and went GE, and we continue. He used to wait for me going, walking down at GE and coming back home. And before I know, I had engagement ring. So, year and a half, I was married.
What year?
I was married 1925, August. Let me see. Oh, jeez. I can't remember my own, my time. 1925.
Tell me a little bit about Joe's background. He came from Czechoslovakia?
My husband?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, he came from Czechoslovakia. He was also, about 2 hours train from Prague, that is the village. And he trained also in Prague. And then he had to go to war,
During the First World War,
18 years old boy. And he came back, and he was also wounded, could have a scar on his head right in here. And
that's the left side of the skull
he same thing landed in America because his brother was here, and his brother wants him to come here. So I never knew his parents, only his brother here in America.
What year did he come?
He came here, I was here 22, he came here late 21.
I see, yes. So he was a fairly new arrival also.
Yes, 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 yes. And
go ahead.
Yeah, very friendly man and well liked among our people, very so. And
did you talk Czech with him or did you Czech. Try to speak English?
Well, both.
Did he speak English well?
I wouldn't say perfect because he had a hard accent. He spoke German. And you know, German people, when you speak German, you have the hard accent. Yeah, because he used to understand everything on a shortwave radio during Second World War when it was news. But no, we used to speak most of the time Czech, only when we had somebody came and spoke in English, yes.
Would you say who constituted most of your friends? What nationality were most of your friends?
Well, nationality, we were more, as I say, we had our own clubhouse, and we had bowling club there, and we mingled among ourselves. But I had Slovak friends, Polish friends. Both, and neighbors were Americans where we settled. So that's what I had to learn, how to speak English, you know. And the children were growing up. I had two little girls.
What were their names? What are their names?
My daughters. My daughter was born in, I was about 20 years old. After 2 years we were married. Her name was Mildred. And Eleanor was born 18 months after. Her name was Eleanor. She was born, both were born in a house. I didn't want to go to a hospital because right there, first baby caring, I read the baby was changed in a hospital and they didn't know it. And year after, I says, nobody's going to take my baby in the hands. I want to see it in my own home. And they were marvelous children. But I lost my older sister, it's going to be 4 years, July. And my younger daughter is marvelous. If that wasn't for her to help me here, she lives on Nantucket with her husband, I could never make it.
You said you lost your oldest sister. Did you mean your oldest daughter?
Older daughter,
okay.
Yes.
I just want to clarify that.
Yes, older daughter, Mildred, yes.
Did you try to teach your children Czech?
Yeah, they were speaking Czech till we were almost 5 years old. And my husband's uncle said, you better speak with these children English because they're going to start kindergarten. And my husband answers, Uncle Lou, that's Alois too, she's going to learn faster in that 1 year that you learn in 30 years. But they did. They were the best students. They got all the scholarships they had and all prizes in the school and everything. They were marvelous students both.
Did anyone in those first few years in America, you know, before you were married and even after you were married, did anyone ever make fun of you because you were a foreigner?
Well, no, not our people, you know, that sometimes the children from Czech family that they are born here, you know, they will say, oh, you greenhorn. That was only in a time of talking and have fun, you know. That's all, but nobody never know.
Is there a story that you have about you attempting to speak English and the wrong word coming out?
Well, yes, people correct you, and I accept it because I do want to say it right. Even the children, they grow up, they had school, and they always says, Mom, you pronouncing it wrong, you know. But I tell you, I didn't have any school, only the night school. When I had children, I couldn't go night school. Only I went night school, get my citizenship papers. That's all the school I had. And I learned on my own to read and write. I was self-educator. And when I was with people, they couldn't believe it. He says, so many people are here, like Italian people, they hear century and they cannot speak English. And I knew it in my apartment when I came here. I had a little lady neighbor. I didn't understand her. She was mumbling in part English, part Italian. I didn't know what she was telling me. Yes.
Tell me about, you mentioned when you left the job working with the kids, the first job you had, you said that you went to GE, but you didn't say what you did at GE.
Oh, I was doing same thing. They have these ladies doing same thing from this thing that they have to do for
these porcelain fixtures.
Yes, a little tiny things, you know, all kinds of things for planes and things like that. And you really hadn't made it good, because if you're not, you didn't make anything. You were in a piecework. They crack if you didn't know, had a feeling, make that press right, that punch it, you know, make a form, like you put it in there, smooth it up, and you press it. And really, you learn it. You had to learn that technique and that feeling, you know, in the pressing. Yes. Yes.
Did who were the other people that worked with you?
Most of them were Polish and Slovak and Italians.
Immigrants.
Immigrants, yes.
And
a lot of them, they were born here, and the children didn't go to school, high school, and they were working in GE. Those days, you were 14 years old, you 15, you got a job in GE, not now anymore. My father did want me to go to vocational school, and then when I was going with my dear Joe, I says, I'm going to get married. What do I need to go into? I'm not going to do any job. I'm going to probably have a family, which I want. I don't need it. So I went to work.
How much money did you get paid at General Electric?
Oh, we were making, that was good money, $30 a week. And when we went sometimes Saturday, that was the time and a half. So we were making good money. That was big money those days.
Did you get a set amount for the day, and then anything more you produced beyond that you were paid extra for?
Oh, yes. As I said, if you
Can you explain what piecework is, I guess, is what I'm
asking. Well, piecework is that they work, they have a straight pay, right? Well, piecework, how much you make pieces, you had to work hard. You didn't have to, you couldn't go sitting and drinking coffee, you know, or have a longer lunch or anything. You had to go and work, earn that money, because they give you the price how much you made. All the pieces. That's what it was, yes.
Can you describe for me how you and your fellow immigrant workers were treated by the bosses?
Very nice. Very nice. I had a Czech boss, I had a Slovak boss. Very nice, yes, very nice.
Did you have to join a union?
Not those days. I went second time to GE during the war. Second World War. They needed help when we built a home. My daughter went to college, and we need money, more landscaping and everything else. So I says, why don't I go to work? I says, I don't need children taking care of home. So I went to work, and I was also working on a good job then. On a plane, glasswork, blowing the bulbs, you know, with white gloves and everything.
Like light bulbs?
Light bulbs, yes.
Really?
That was very interesting, yes. So I was working only 27 months there. We had to be in a union and have hospitalization, but after D-Day came, they lay us off. And my daughter came from college, and she says, Mom, when they call me back after a year, if you go to work, I'm going to take an apartment with the girls. We're going to be crazy people coming home, and everybody's going to be each other's hair and do cooking and cleaning and whatever, you know. So I says, no, you're not going to go no apartment. You stay home till you get married.
Just pause for a second, and we're resuming now. You mentioned earlier in the interview that your mother came to America to visit when you got engaged, I think you said. I want you to tell me about that whole experience of your mother coming to America and what she thought of all of this.
Well, she loved the country because it was different.
She came specifically to visit, though. She wasn't...
No, she not visit. She came because my father says he's going to stay. There was a lot of work here, you know, then. And we sold everything there. You know, my mother sold everything there. So that meant that we're going to stay. And if I married, you know, that naturally they don't want to go and leave me here. So my older sister was left there and her son. My father didn't been very happy, have only one son and left her there. But he says, we're going to go visit back home. You know, you could go there, visit. So my mom came here in March, and I had a wedding in August.
March of 1925, she comes, and you got married in August.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember going to meet? Where did your mother come in that you had to go meet her?
In Schenectady train. In Schenectady.
So she got through the through New York and right, up the train by herself.
But she didn't. She didn't. I don't think my mom. She must have went through Ellis Island too, because it
maybe,
was that. Maybe not.
Depends.
I can remember that. Yes. So, but she was happy that I was going to, you know, to be married, and she liked Joe very much because he was a very friendly man and very nice. He had his parents in Europe, and they just died when I started going with him, both of them. So that he was happy that he's going to have his own home. He was boarding with family, you know. So, and he was in the age too. He was 25 years old, 26 almost, 9 years older than I. So, my father didn't want me to get married. My mother says, you're too young. So I says to my mom, how old you were, mom, when you got married? She was 18. I couldn't get the marriage license. She had to go with me. I says, she says, I'm not going to go with you. I says, okay. Next month I'm going to be 18, so I could go by myself. So then she went.
Tell me some of her impressions of America.
Well, she liked it because it was more to luxury, let's put it that way. More things that what you want, you could have it, which we couldn't have at home, you know, in Europe. So,
I'm just curious, what were some of the things, the luxuries that she really liked having in America?
Well, my mother loved good clothes and she likes good jewelry, and which I never was like that, you know. And, but a home, you know, we didn't have a carpeting and different things that we possess, you know. Because even now, my daughter, when she went back, she says, Mom, no matter how beautiful everything, they have a one room and they are crumbled up, you know. They haven't got much. She says, they're educated, but still, compared to us, it's nothing, you know. And but she was there twice, so, and she wants to go back again, see my family, yes.
How long was your mother here in America?
Well, my mother died in 1932, believe it or not.
So
not
she came and stayed.
Yes.
All that time. Did she attempt to learn English?
No, very little, because she thought she was old. You know, when you're 50, those days people thought they old. I'm going to be 88 years old, and I don't feel that I'm old.
It's different now, isn't it?
So, anyway. My mother only knew more or less, I would say, Polish, talking with Polish people and Slovak people, because we communicate through their clubs, you know, together. And that's the way the whole section where we lived was, you know, built up of people, European people. Store was in Polish or Czech. You don't need to English. When I used to go to American store, my husband bought me dictionary, so I would write it in English when I went shopping, like used to be AMP market, public market. So I write it on a piece of paper, and it's I buy in a different store what I want, you know. So that's how I learned, from dictionary.
Tell me about the process of becoming a citizen and what you had to go through to do that.
Well, all the things that we have to know about United States law.
You went to a class.
Class at the law, you know, they tell you what to learn, they give you a book. I think I had it for many years, that book, and I don't know what happened to moving three times, you know. But I made out good, so I guess I was speaking pretty good in English then, you know, already. So, And we had to go fingerprint also too. Only I didn't like that. I says I didn't stole anything. I wasn't in the jail, but that was the procedure. You had to go fingerprint.
What year did you become a citizen?
Just before before the war, I think 1930. Let me see. My mom died 1932. My father left for Europe. And because he had a son there, and he wanted to stay with his son, you know, father and his son. So I got citizen paper that year. So that must have been late 1933, I got my citizen.
How did you feel when your father wanted to go back to Europe to live?
I was sad because I says to him, I says, are you sure you're going to live with your son? Because my sister was out of Prague. He went direct to Prague. And I says, you have mom grave here. My mom is buried here. I says, why don't you stay here? You have two girls here. My sister was going to be married. She was engaged. Oh, he was here when she got married. She just got married and he left after she was married. Yes, Mary. So... he says, I know, he says, but I'm going to have all the pictures and I'm going to see you every day. I put them on a table and I'll talk to you. And he says, I have also grandchildren there, you know, my sister's children. So he went back and my brother was married and he was working still in a hotel. He was a chef there. Then he opened his business, but didn't work out very well business. So he went back managing again in a hotel. And my father didn't live with him because, well, they were a young couple. They want to have a baby and they didn't have a child. So after 10 years, my brother got a baby boy. That's the one that I correspond now. And my father took his own apartment in a nearby him. And he died, he was, I overlived him too. He died, he was 83 years old in March. I don't know what year, I got all the papers home and saving it, but I can't remember.
Did you communicate with your father by letter?
Yeah.
I mean, you had been through so much with him just coming to this country.
When the Second World War developed, you know, it was the same procedure. We didn't know what's happening to them. And the first thing we had a chance, we sent a package. And my father was devastated because in Prague were all the soldiers, you know, I saw it when I went there first time after 4 years, 67. The building that he was living, they were holes the way they were shooting there. And they had all the reeds outside on those holes, you know. And my father says, we were lucky we didn't been killed, you know. So, but I did worry about him, and I says to him, we want to bring him here before the war started. He didn't want to come. My husband wanted him very badly to come and live with us. We take care of him. But he says, no, I'm gonna be buried in the soil where I was born. That was his idea, see. And see, I was different. When I went there, my sister... I lost my husband, and I never want to go back because I promised him I won't go without her. But when I saw my grandson, 15 years old, during Thanksgiving, I came from Bethesda, Maryland, and I says, what am I doing? See, Kevin, 15 years old, that's how my brother was when I left him first time. It's time to go back. And my husband and I, we planned to go a year before that. He was a sick man already. To Europe, and I had all the paper that he wrote, which way it's better, on a ship or flight, and all the information. So I says, well, I found the letters. I'm going to write tomorrow. I call my daughter. She says, Mother, that's the best news I heard from you since Daddy died. So I says, I'm going home. I'm going to visit my sister and my brother while I still have good health. Well, I called my husband, first cousin, they were there, but a year before my husband died, they came home 3 days before he died. And we supposed to death, I'm going with them. But my husband was afraid. He says, honey, if I die there, I know you won't leave me there. You will want me to bring back because you have children here, your children and I will have grandchildren. You and mom is buried here. You would have to bring me to America. And he says, I'm not going. So we didn't go. That's why I had these letters. So when I call his cousin, her name is Anna, and she was Valentas too. And so she says, wait, my husband and I, we planning going back because we left our car there. They bought a car, left it with nephew, and we have good passports. So we're going to go, all three of us. Well, I was very happy. So she took care of everything. She took care of, I even took driving license from AAA, but I never drove. I rented a car, but my nephew was driving because all that driving over there was, it was crazy, you know. But
when you've gone back, have you ever gone back to see the house that you lived in?
Yes, I did.
The first time you did that, was that 1967?
First, after 40, after 47, yes. So.
How did you feel when you saw that house?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. It's the same house. They have a doorbell and a door outside, which we never had. I look, I says, is it the same house? I'm sure it is. It's a little bit on a hill. Nobody answered. People were on the field. I was there in June. Well, I finally got there towards evening. They have electricity in the house, washing machine. Everything like I have here, all modernized, the whole house. I couldn't believe it. Village was paved. It was no more dirt road. It was all paved up. The creek was there, and the school was there, and the field, we had all the two rows of plums, right, a little bit outskirts of village. There was all houses. The village was bigger. It was all houses built up. So it was a big change.
When you saw it, did you feel emotionally attached to it or did you feel kind of distant from it all?
No, I wasn't emotionally because it was not my home anymore. My sister was with me traveling from center Bohemia there by train with travel. She says, see, wouldn't you like to come back where you were born, your crib? I says, no. I says, there's nothing here for me anymore. You're going to be gone, you older, and your children, I only know they have their friends. I have my children, my mother's grave, my sister's grave, my grandchildren, and I have friends three generations, my church, my clubs, that's my home. I says, this is my good memory, but sad memory too. I says, no, I'm going back home to America. That's what I said, yes.
Do you have advice for, if someone were listening to this tape 100 years from now, what kind of advice would you give a young person listening to this tape about how to lead their life successfully?
I would say, be happy what you have. And even if you have to struggle like I did, just always says, I will make it. That's what I would tell him. Don't ask more what you have and be happy with it. And I made it and to my age. And my grandchildren, they're telling me now, she says, Nana, you are a model to all of us. Because the way you lived your life, and I used to cry when I was here alone and my mom wasn't here that year and a half every night, and I'd be about strangers. But I made it. I says, I'm going to see her again. Because I always says, it's tomorrow. It's not only today. I'm said, I'm going to have a better day tomorrow, and mom's going to be here maybe tomorrow and next day. So you always have to have a hope for better than for worst. And today's children, they're asking too much all at once. And some of them, this is what happened. It's destruction, really. And I'm very happy and thanks God that the way I brought my two daughters and they brought their children and they doing same thing to my great-grandchildren. I have 12 great-grandchildren. God bless them. I don't know what's going to happen to them. I'm not going to be here. But I hope they will be just as strong no matter what's going to happen to our beautiful country, America, that they will make it.
Mrs. Valenta, yeah. Thank you very much for You're letting welcome. Me
I think it was, it brought me back different way. This was my third page that I've been turning over in my life going to this place. And I'm happy here too. Yes.
This is Paul Sigrist signing off with Emily Valenta on May 1st, 1995 at the Lady of Hope residence in Lathan, New York, which Mrs. Valenta has just moved into about a week or so ago.
Right.
And this is Paul Sigrist signing off. Thank you.
You're welcome.